Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, everyone, we made it. We've made it through another school year. Our Sunday school is semi on a break, although we have some other classes that are going on. A couple weekends ago, it was Memorial Day weekend. We've officially started the summer. But even our other mission of VBS is now ended. We see the end of VBS, and now we see that point of summer that kind of just goes. We've made it, everybody. We've made it. And I know it feels a little bit like we can finally just relax. Of course, there's some of us out there that this is their busy season. And in fact, things have just started to get busy for maybe the first time in a while. But for a lot of us, we can relax. We have done it. Our mission is completed. We sometimes talk like that, don't we? We talk about our mission. We like to have a set of goals, kind of a driving force that kind of pushes us forward. We like to have an idea of where we're going, when we're going to get there, and what it's going to look like once we actually accomplish the goal. What it's going to look like once we get there, once we achieve it. And then, of course, we get to today, Holy Trinity Sunday. And if you're anything like me, and I mean anything like me, you're probably thinking to yourself, Pastor, what does this have to do with anything? Because I know the Trinity, and I've talked about the Trinity. Maybe you're remembering some of the times you talked about the Trinity way back when you were going through confirmation. And you know it has something to do with the fact that God the Father is not God the Son, and God the Son is not God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit is not God the Father, but yet we don't have three gods, we have but one God. We know how that goes. And so we're kind of used to that. And you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, you're talking about missions, and now your title is a mission from God, which might strike you a little bit like the Blues Brothers, but it's not. We're not getting the band back together. Something completely different. But the point of the matter is you might be thinking to yourself, what does this have to do with anything? Well, you see, there's a lot of systematicians, really smart people, that have a lot of time to think about these things. And a lot of times, the way they kind of think things through, and sometimes the way even I think things through, is we tend to break it apart and look at it from different views. What I just described to you actually has a title. It's called the Immanent Trinity. It is how God interacts ultimately within Himself. And if it's hard to understand, it should be. In fact, I would go as far to say it's impossible to understand. Really trying to grapple and understand the fullness of the Holy Trinity is simply put beyond our capability. It's beyond any of our capabilities. Because we really do have three persons in one God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But yet, we don't have three gods. We have one God. How is that possible? How does that work? I could sit here and talk to you a long time about all these different aspects and things that we learn from Scripture and point out some Scripture references, but at the end of it, you probably wouldn't feel like you've gained any ground. You've spent a lot of time studying. You might feel like you know a lot more, but you didn't gain a ton of ground. But there's another way to talk about the Holy Trinity. And it's not necessarily one that we typically do, at least not when we're saying the Trinity. We actually talk about it all the time. We just don't put it in the language of the Trinity. And so we don't think about it like that. And that is the mission of the Trinity. That is to say, we sometimes talk about God, and we talk about the immanent Trinity, but very rarely do we talk about what each part of the Trinity does. Those systematicians, those really smart people that have a lot of time to look at stuff and read stuff and come up with fancy terms, they call this the economic trinity. And so if I was to talk to you about the economic trinity, I would talk to you about how God the Father sent the Son, how the Son died, suffered and died at the hands of sinful people after living a perfect sinless life, who died upon the cross, who suffered for your sake and your sins, and yet on the third day rose again and ascended into heaven. I would talk about how Jesus Christ, the Son, sent the Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit collects the Holy Christian Church together in one communion, and how the Holy Spirit focuses us as a Christian church on the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. How like a spotlight, the Holy Spirit directs us, gives to us faith. Luther would say that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, and yet through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the economic trinity. That we have a tendency to have a better understanding. And that is the Holy Trinity in mission. It's not just an abstract idea that we think about, but we actually see how God Himself acts in our world and among us. However, what's really interesting about that and what's really applicable even for us today is how mundane it can at times seem. I know I just used a lot of big terms and it seemed very powerful and very big, but yet let's break it down and look at the ways in which God interacts in our life. We know the Holy Spirit comes through baptism. What's more common than water? We see water everywhere. Water all around us. We have rivers and lakes. And even where water is scarce, we see people running out of their way to find water. And yet, with a little bit of water and the very Word of God in its fullness and power, we see the very working of God. That through water and God's Word, we see a person receive the Holy Spirit, get strengthened and pushed in faith. We see the death of the old self and the new life. We see such wonderful gifts, powerful gifts. And yet if we didn't have God's Word in front of us, what would we see? It would seem so common. It would seem so mundane. What about on weeks that we have Holy Communion? We know what it is. Right? We have bread, but in, with, and under the bread, 100% God's flesh, God's Christ true body, but also bread. We take the wine. It is 100% the blood of Christ, and yet it's wine. 100% both at the same time. But a lot of times when we're chewing it, we think about the bread. Or we think about the wine. Again, things that are very common. And yet God takes these very common things and He comes to you. He comes to you in those very common things. He comes to all of your senses. He comes to your sense of hearing, of smelling, of taste, of touch. And reminds you over and over again, you are a forgiven child of God. Now think about that. God comes to us in such mundane things. How often do we look at the mission that God has given to us and forget the magnitude of it because it feels so mundane? Bringing a child up in faith. Making sure that you pray with them at night. Making sure that you take a chance to talk about those biblical stories. It can seem so mundane. It can seem so simple, so trivial almost. And yet God is at work in those things. God is at work in those things, creating and sustaining faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, directing that person, that child, that whoever, again and again and again to the very cross of Christ, reminding them that they are forgiven and calling them forth to a life of faith. It is a massive thing. And yet it doesn't always feel like it. Sometimes it can feel rather mundane. Sometimes it can feel like I'm just really tired and I just want to go to bed and maybe tomorrow night. Or maybe we have that one friend. We've been meaning to talk to him, but it just seems so trivial. Maybe we have something else or someone else in our life, and we know that we need to somehow talk to them. Somehow we need to tell them about Jesus. But we avoid it. It just seems so trivial. It just seems like such a minor thing. And yet, it is a mission that we have been called to do. It is a mission that we have been called to do by our Lord. God the Father sent the Son. The Son died for our sake, for your sake, for those that are outside of our doors, for their sake as well. And through the working of the Holy Spirit, He brings us home. He creates and sustains that faith. Now, I don't know the full answer of it all. We got to do our own things. Like, you have to have your own practices. Maybe you start telling a Bible story at night every night, or maybe you find time to get in touch and talk to your friend. Or maybe, you know, you invite them to something. We have some events coming up. I don't know if you've noticed. And you know what? Those events are pretty fun. They're pretty good. They're pretty engaging. And, you know, it might be a good chance to just invite them over and get them to know some people. It might seem so mundane, and yet it can change a life. It can change for them their eternity through the very working of the Holy Spirit, through the very Holy Trinity that we discuss, talk about, but the Holy Trinity that we celebrate today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.